Hello. Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Psalm 87. Psalm 87. A psalm of the sons of Korah, a song. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God, Selah. I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this one was born there. But of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord shall count when he registers the people, this one was born there. And those who sing as well as those who play the flute shall say, all my springs of joy are in you. Amen. So Psalm 87 is focusing on the city of God, Jerusalem. So to totally understand this passage, you need to look at Jerusalem as a city, but you also need to look at Jerusalem, or a lot of times they use the word Zion, to mean a spiritual city. And so those two things run complementary to each other, but they're very significant differences that happen. So Jerusalem is the physical city, Zion, and the writers will also use the term Jerusalem, but a lot of times in the Psalms, they're talking about a spiritual city that will happen. And then if you remember in the end times, the end of it, he says he will bring to us a new heavens and a new earth. And so there's something about this spiritual city that actually comes back to a physical city, if you can understand that. And so they're talking about the glorious Zion, the city of God. So he starts out and says, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. And so you're talking about the Israelites now. Remember, the land was apportioned to different sons, and so they were all over the place. I mean, some across over to the river. But he says that there's something about Jerusalem, about Zion, and the word is, Lord, love the gates of Zion. If you ever go to Jerusalem, Jerusalem was a fortified city surrounded by gates, the Sheep Gate, the Dung Gate, the Damascus Gate. If you've been on one of our trips, we visited most of these gates, and so you're talking about like entering into the city, and so it says the Lord loves the gates of Zion. It's like, oh, we're right there. If you've ever been to like a foreign country and you're crossing a border, you know, which is a little different, and you know, like Hong Kong is home, and you're like maybe Macau or China, and you cross into the border, there's this, you know, when you see the Welcome to Hong Kong sign or something, there's so much joy that fills you, and the Lord is speaking of that same kind of joy. You know, and more than all the other dwelling places, the Lord loves this place. So let's think about it. Why does the Lord love Jerusalem? Why does he love this holy city? Why this city compared to any other city in the world? And it's just there's no rhyme nor reason. It just seems to be the place that God has chosen. But significant things happen in Jerusalem. So I'll just mark off a few of them for you, okay? The first thing we know that in this holy city is where Abraham took his son and to basically be sacrificed. That was on the hills of basically Mount Moriah, which we know is Calvary, okay? And so it starts off way back then, right? So Abraham chooses this place. He's from another place, but he chooses this place to actually listen to the Lord and sacrifice his son in that place. It's also the place where David, the best king they ever had, had his reign, and that would be a precursor, obviously, of the son of David that will come later on, which is Jesus the Christ. Obviously, the temple was established here in Jerusalem. And with the temple, you have all the different rules Before that, you had the tabernacle. And so it's all the rules of worship, how you can approach this God, what you do when you approach this God, the repentance, what you do when you have sins, all that stuff was established in Jerusalem. And we see this picture being laid out for us. We also see that, obviously, that Jesus came into this city and he preached the good news. And then the preaching was so powerful that he died in this city. And he gave his life and he died for all mankind in this place. We also know that the church was birthed in this city. Pentecost happens in this city, in the upper room. And so the gospel is spread throughout the world. And the apostles established their base for reaching the whole world. This all happened in Jerusalem. You have the start and the foundation of the Israelite people started here in Jerusalem. You have the birthing of the church starts here in Jerusalem. And so there's something about this city that really is a landmark in essence. And there's great joy. Now, does God's choosing of this city make this city great? I would like to think that's exactly what it is. You know, or is a city great in itself, and so God chooses and God blesses it? I think it's the first thing I said. And in that way, you think about it, even our own lives, you are great because God chose you. You remember a few weeks ago, right? God chose you because he knows you. And if he couldn't use you, he wouldn't choose you. And so there's greatness. There's something so precious in the choosing of God before you. And so he says that he loves all these places. He says, glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. And it's prized, and it's interesting. You take out, just look at just the city in a geopolitical framework, and it is unique. It is unique amongst the world. I mean, really, World War III can start in that city. You have basically, it's considered the most holy place for the Israelites, you know, for the Jews, becomes the most holy place for the Muslims. You know, they're half brothers. You go through the genealogy. You know, this is Lot's daughters, Esau. I mean, it's amazing when you look through, and it is so volatile, this city. And think of all the wars, you know, think of jihad, think of 9/11, you know, think of Afghanistan. I mean, all the stuff that's going on, you know, in the world, a lot of it is so much centered in this city. You have to, just in the natural, you have to think like, wow, there's just something very distinct about this city. And it says there, it says, glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. So many people want to capture this city. By the way, even for you guys that are English citizens, you know, British citizens, crusades, right, all centered on this city. It's amazing. And he says, and this is where the shift happens, I shall mention Rahab. Rahab is Egypt. Okay, so if you ever hear that phrase in terms of Psalms or poetry, it's talking about Egypt. So I shall mention Egypt and Babylon, and among those who know me, behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, or other translations say Cush. When you hear that, it's referring to Ethiopia. And all this one was born there. Now there's a shift. Now we're talking about the spiritual city of Zion. And notice that when he mentions Egypt, Babylon, the Philistines, Tyre, the Philistines, remember the great enemies of the Israelites, Tyre was indicative of the arrogance and the luxuries of the world. So when you see certain cities have a type, and so we go through these things, and when you see these things, you recognize that this is God's not speaking of these cities in an adversarial way. He's basically saying that there are people in these cities that know me. And so now we're basically getting into this spiritual Jerusalem, or a lot of times what we call Zion, and we're getting into this idea really of Gentile inclusion. And so we see that, it's spoken of all over the place. He says, I shall mention Rahab, Babylon, among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this one was born there. And so there's a new birth, in essence, a new beginning that can happen in this place among the nations. And this is the call to all the nations. Remember, it all starts off. Remember, Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Though it seems that God has chosen a particular city of Zion for his place of affections, but it doesn't mean that he's not affectionate towards anybody else. It's all laid out there, and he says that there will be people among the Egyptians, among the Babylonians, among the Philistines, among those of Tyre and the Ethiopians that will know him, that will say this one was born there. And obviously, this is talking about a spiritual birth that takes place. And we know this is true. I mean, I'll just look in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, and we see the Ethiopian eunuch that gets converted. We know Egyptians. I mean, I know Egyptian Christians out there. And I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing work of God that's taken place. In fact, it's said right now that, I mean, this is pretty exciting. It's said right now one of the greatest works of God on this planet is happening in Iran among the Persians. Can you imagine? There is a deep movement of God. I was talking with a guy last year, and he's just telling me all these stories of so many Iranians, so many Persians coming to Jesus. Just a real powerful move of God. And we see that God is birthing these people and these nations. And continue on. But of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. This is, when you have pride in where you come from, and you say, oh, you know, I'm from this place, or whatever the case may be. I always took a particular note that whenever I met a Chinese person, and they were, I'd ask them, where are you from? And if they're from Shanghai, they'd always let me know they're from Shanghai. You know, everyone else would say, oh, yeah, I'm from China. It was just very generic. But the Shanghainese, they were very clear. It said, I'm from Shanghai. You know, it's a very different city than all other cities. And there's this great pride within them when, you know, they mention, and that's basically what he's talking about here. The Lord shall count when he registers the people. This one was born there. Selah. There's a pause. So turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So the writer of Hebrews says this. This is Hebrews 12 from verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Again, this is the spiritual home. So he's talking to all these converts, and he's basically saying that Jerusalem is your home. In fact, I'll give you another one. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4 at 26. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. Right? This is the same language that's used here in the psalm. The New Testament writers, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, the New Testament writers makes this connection that when we become the followers of God, when we get converted and we become the followers of Jesus, Jerusalem becomes our mother. Paul will go into great detail in the book of Romans, and he'll say, we have not replaced the Israelites in our affections, right? In the affections, but we are grafted in. And Paul will spend great deal of time explaining what that means. We haven't replaced. So there's a theology that was quite popular back in the days. It's losing its steam, but it's still around, which we call replacement theology. And what replacement theology says is that the church has replaced the Israelites in the affections of God. Paul says, actually, no. We are just grafted into that. And so in that same sense that you as a follower of Christ, you can call Jerusalem as your mother. That Zion is our spiritual home. We're now birthed. We can say we were born there in that same way. This spiritual birth is born again, this awakening that happens to us. And it says, and then those who sing as well as those who play the flutes shall say, all my springs of joy are in you. Jerusalem was famous for its springs. There was waterways because it was a fortified city up on a hill. There were waterways that were brought into the city very carefully by different kings. If you've come on one of our trips, remember we walked through Hezekiah's tunnel. Some of you guys would remember. And those are just one of the passageways where these springs that flowed from the Kidron would come in into the holy city of Jerusalem. And it's really quite a beautiful thing when you experience it. And he says, and all my springs of joy are in you. It's like the bubbling of these springs, you know, when you are so thirsty. And all of us, we're all so thirsty. And when we see these springs of water and we can find nourishment and rest, and there's this joy that bubbles up, and it says, all my springs of joy are in you. It's very similar to what Jesus says. He says, if anyone is thirsty, they can come and drink from the well of life. And we see this imagery continue to be portrayed in the New Testament as well. All my springs are in you. And so let's close our eyes. You know, let's thank the Lord, right, that we're grafted in. And so you know what that means? That means all those blessings and promises that were given to the Israelites become our promises and blessings. We are grafted in to this thing. The establishment of faith, of worship, are all found in the holy city. And we can carry on that honor by worshiping the Lord, by honoring Him. We are citizens of a new Jerusalem, a holy Zion. Well, let's thank the Lord for what He's done for us.
You were the Word of the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now revealed. Beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
And let's thank the Lord for Jesus. Let's thank God for sending us His Son, for establishing Jerusalem, for laying the foundation of our worship, of our devotion, even going all the way back to Abraham, the sacrifice that leads to the sacrifice of Christ. Let's just go before the Lord this morning with thanksgiving that we get to be part of this holy city of Zion because of what Jesus Christ has done. Now let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family, church members that are going through cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with illness, but also needs to be saved. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for those who are dealing with non-cancer related sicknesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for those who have COVID. Let's pray for God's healing over them. Let's also pray for our frontline medical workers. Let's ask God's protection over them and strength. I also pray for nurses. They've asked me to ask the church to pray over this. There's a huge shortage of nurses here in Hong Kong. Let's continue to lift up. Let's pray for those that are looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's ask God's hand to be upon our city. Let's pray over the whole COVID situation as this, you know, thank God it's getting better and better. Let's continue to lift up our government and the decisions that they make. Let's pray for against the wealth gap that's causing a lot of division and problems in the city. Let's continue to cry out for revival. God will revive the church and it would spill out into the world, into the city. Let's pray for churches all over our city that the gospel will be preached powerfully. Let's pray for sports services, Shanty, YWAM, God Catering, S&D, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Let's pray over our staff. Let's just ask God to continue to build our hearts, our character. Pray for our unity throughout the team, that we would just really serve the Lord with all of our heart. Let's really lift up. Let's pray over our education department, our SP Kids, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's just pray for God to use our leaders, use our volunteers. Let's pray our little ones to our older ones would really experience God through the classes and the teachings. Let's pray over our worship and sound and our AV teams. Let's pray for our worship leaders. Let's lift up our AV people. Let's pray that they would just really build the incredible atmosphere of God in this place, that we could worship Him with all of our hearts. Let's pray for our ladies that are pregnant. Let's pray for God's protection. Let's pray for God's blessing over them. Protect the baby in the womb. Pray the families would really be a joyful time as they welcome in their little one. Let's lift up. Let's lift up house churches this week. Let's pray that as they discuss and meditate on joy in the place of surrender and trust, that God would really minister them. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our hosts. Let the presence of God just really come down as we gather together. Father, we thank you, God, for Jerusalem. God, we thank you for the holy city of Zion, God, and all that it represents, the establishment, God, of our faith, Lord. God, through Abraham, Moses, God, David, Lord, and obviously then through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for all that the Lord has done. We thank you, God, that you saw this. Lord, you wrote this throughout history, Father God, that out of this city would come so many blessings, Lord, not just for the Israelites, but for the whole world. And so we thank you, Lord. We pray that we would, Lord, just continue to honor you, God, with our lives today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.